stepping through the shadows of uncertainty, bending under life's crushing blow, searching for hope against the formless void of a world emptied of light. We travel and yearn. We walk and pray. We search the sky for signs, scan the horizon for redemption, study the shadows for the light that casts them, but only silence and darkness. Then, the Spirit of God moves against the dark waters of his people's despair, bends his knee toward the world that abandoned him long ago. He sees the formless and empty state of his creation. He hovers over the hopeless and helpless. Now is the time. It's finally time to strike the serpent. God speaks light again, like he spoke it before. The Word of God becomes flesh. Underneath a bright star of hope, underneath the radiant breath of God, underneath 400 years of silence, the bright morning star dawns. The people who walk in darkness see the great light. The light shines on those who live in the land of deep darkness. The mighty king we were promised has arrived in a throne made of sticks, in a manger of humility. He has come.
Many of you know that growing up and throughout my young adult life, I was involved in construction and did a lot of construction jobs. Came from a construction family, small business. And I remember one project that we had that was just, it was the source of nightmares for my family. And it was just one of these jobs that everything that could go wrong with a job went wrong. And I remember there were, I was at school one day and I came home and everyone was kind of upset and everything. And what had happened was it was a really windy day. So this was in Lethbridge, right? In Lethbridge, like winds can get up to 100 kilometers pretty easily, pretty consistently. Don't really miss that part about Lethbridge. But I remember we had these walls and they were if you know construction, 2x8 walls. They were all sheeted and they were 16 feet high. And that was for this project. And we braced them really well with wood braces. And the wind was so strong that it took those walls down. We had built them and everything. It just destroyed the building that we had framed up. We didn't have the roof on it quite yet. And that was the time where we had to switch from wood braces to steel cables and steel wire cables to be able to hold them properly. And I just remember that happened. And then also there was one day which was probably the worst day of that whole project. And we had a new guy that had just started on the job. And there were about six of us on the crew. And we had the crane out there. And we were going to put the roof on. We're going to put the trusses on the walls that were now re-erected. And we're standing and we're braced properly. And we were going to put the roof on this. And I remember before we even started putting the trusses up, we were going to put the plywood on a scaffolding. And I remember watching one of my coworkers as he was trying to guide the crane, putting this stack of plywood on top of the scaffold. And he went to reach out to push it into place, which is something you don't really need to do. And what happened was he lost his balance and fell right in front of me, fell 16 feet all the way to the ground. Now, thankfully, it was almost like angels had, like it felt like it was in slow motion. And he only cracked his heel. That was the only thing. It was on the frozen ground as well. And that could have been a lot worse. And so it was like, wow, that was really tough and but really hard. And then what happened was this new guy who convinced my dad that he was really, really good at tall heights and was so comfortable up there. After that happened, about 20 minutes later, he walked by me and he said, just tell your dad that I quit. And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, we got the crane. We need you here. And he's like, well, I kind of lied. I'm afraid of heights. I'm like, I'm 16 years old and he's telling me that he quits, right? And it was so we're down two guys and I'm the one who's not cool enough to go up to the tall heights. Really, I was kind of afraid of heights, and my dad had compassion on me, And so I was the one who had to like hook up the trusses for the crane and get them up and tie the rope and all those things. And just to be that ground support, to be able to get everything that they needed and hand it up to them. And there was, on that day, there was a time where I was tying this thing up and the crane operator moved the boom. And it's like this big steel ball about this big, maybe it's bigger, I don't know. And I was wearing a hard hat. He hit me in the head, knocked me off my feet. And I'm like, what? Could anything else go wrong in this day? And it was just one of those things that time after time after time, everything we did took longer than we wanted it to. And at times just got destroyed. And was just, it felt like we were working and walking uphill the whole time. And the thing is, eventually, it took a really long time, but eventually we did finish that building. But it took a tremendous amount of perseverance and just show up to work, to be able to do the things, to be able to finish that building. And it's still there today. It's a very solid building. It's got lots of businesses in it. I don't really like going to that part of town because the building is just filled with these unpleasant memories for my family in the time that we had to spend there. And it was just a hard situation, a hard time for us to do it. And I think sometimes in our lives, we have these situations, we have these phases within our lives where it's so hard, it's so difficult, and it feels like we're just walking uphill all the time. And we walk uphill to work, we walk uphill home, and it just feels like life is so, so hard. And it requires for us to have perseverance, and it requires for us to have hope. Hope that maybe today will be a little bit better. Hope that maybe tomorrow will be a little bit better. And that's the thing with Advent. Advent is this time of year where we focus on the coming of Jesus as a little baby, God coming in the flesh. And it's this greatest story that's ever told. It is the story that gives us life, that gives us salvation, that gives us hope. And Advent is this thing where Advent literally means arrival, and that it's the arrival of Jesus. And after a long time of waiting, it's a time of hope. It's a time of the long wait being over. The long awaited Messiah finally comes to this earth. And today we're going to be focusing on the passage about where Jesus, he's already been born, and his parents take him to the temple to be dedicated. And that's basically what they had to do in their tradition, in their laws. And it's focusing on Simeon and Anna, who were two prophetic people who were waiting and longing and searching for the one who would bring hope to God's people. Now, in the story, they're presumed to be very old and to have been waiting pretty much their whole lives, decades and decades, just waiting for this child who would come to the temple to be dedicated, to have this time where the Holy Spirit is saying, "There's I'm going to send someone to save the world, to save the people." And the Holy Spirit kept saying, "I'm going to show you who that will be." So here's where we'll pick it up. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 25, all the way to 38. And it says this. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was a righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. A sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old, and she lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. So these are two people who had waited decades and decades, and their ancestors had waited centuries for this moment to happen. That's a lot of waiting. That's a lot of hope that's required in their lives to say, okay, maybe today. And then today comes and they finally get to meet their Savior, Jesus. You see, hope is waiting for something to happen. Hope is waiting for something to happen. Last night, this place was fairly busy. We had about 100 people here for a fundraiser for Haitian Children's Aid Society. And basically, it's an organization that raises funds for the Haiti Children's Home, which is not a place, but a group of people. And they're still doing ministry out in Haiti. And many of you have been involved in that ministry over the last 12, 13 years, as we've sent quite a few groups over to Haiti to be able to build the Haiti Children's Home. And we had this beautiful compound that had a secure wall around it and a guard tower, and we had solar panels, and we had homes for families to be able to raise children who did not have families. And then there were outbuildings to have a clinic, as well as an outreach into the community to have a nutrition program and to help people and feed people, essentially. And what's happened, I don't know if you follow anything that's happening in Haiti right now, but they have no government. They have no governmental control, and it is now controlled by organized crime and by gang members. And they're just basically invading homes and invading communities and driving people out. And so it's almost a country of turmoil and refugees trying to find a place to live and resources to be able to survive. And what happened, I think it's back in March, is the gangs moved into the community that the orphanage that we had participated in, and it took over the compound. And so the compound has been lost. And all of the efforts and money that's been invested, it's gone. And the people that were there, the house parents, the children, had to flee into other parts of Haiti, into places where they can be safe. And they are safe. And they are provided for. And they're still there doing ministry and partnering with other organizations who are in that area. And we were able to get some updates and to see some videos and some pictures of more current things. And it's beautiful because some of the young men and young women that we were able to get to know while we were out there in those visits, they're now, some of them are now adults, and they're starting to launch into helping others, into being leaders in their community, and it's just a wonderful thing. And so the hard part of those updates was that we've lost the building, we've lost the land, we've lost all the assets that had been built up over the years. And yet the hope in all of it is that it was never about the compound. It was never about the building. It was about the people. It was about the children who don't have families. It's about the communities that don't have enough to eat. It's about the babies who don't have the nutrients to be able to survive. And it's about helping them to survive. It's about helping children to have food, to have community, to have a sense of belonging, to have schooling. And those things are still happening, just in a different community, without any buildings, but with the people that are out there. And friends, that is something where there were so many times where we would say, well, it's not going to get worse. And then it got worse. Well, this will never happen. And then it happened. But still, there's this hope that emerges. And I remember the first time I went out to Haiti. It was a while after their major earthquake that happened quite a few years ago. And I remember talking to one gentleman that I had gotten to know out there, and he said that he was kind of in the epicenter of where the earthquake had happened. And he said it was like the road in front of him. It was like a towel or a sheet was just being thrown like this, and it was just rippled, and there was a wave that went. And he said it was just the wildest thing and the most scary thing that he had ever seen. And I think from that time, he's never slept a full night in his life. And I remember that there were buildings that were just destroyed, and buildings that weren't destroyed were no longer structurally sound to be able to live in. And they had to be reconstructed and torn down or fixed. And there was just so much devastation and poverty everywhere we looked. And then once in a while, I'd see a building that had some graffiti on it with one word. And it was a very common one. It said hope. I thought, oh, wow, these are people of hope. This is incredible. And then I thought, wait a minute, what's the Haitian word for hope? And it's not actually hope. It's l'espoir. But that's not what was written on the wall. And so I'm like, okay, well, maybe that was actually a Canadian or an American that wrote that on the wall. And it was more of an encouragement to me than it was to the people of Haiti. Now, probably they knew what that word meant, but that's not the word that they would use to express hope. They would say l'espoir. I probably totally mispronounced that, by the way. I will own that. But you see, the thing is that you interact with the people of Haiti, and there is a resilience that they have. And it's a resilience to survive, and it's a resilience to help others and to serve others. And I wonder in my own life, I wonder in the lives of Canadians even, where we find our hope, where we have our tenacity, not just to survive, but to have to be a person of hope, to be a person who looks to the good news of hope that Jesus brings within our lives. Because when I interact with hear about things that are happening in Haiti, what I realize is that I don't have to have the level of hope that they have. Because for them, sometimes hope is all they have to be able to survive. And I think within our lives, it's not that we don't need to be people of hope. It's not that we struggle with hope, but hope looks a little bit different for us than it does for someone who isn't sure where their next meal is going to come from or whether they'll be able to survive the rest of the week. But within our own lives, in the Canadian context, we're all searching. And it's basic human nature that we search for and long for something more, something different, something outside of ourselves. And for some, it might be survival, or it might be that this is not all there is. And not that this is bad, but no matter how much we have to think, there's got to be something more meaningful than this. Something more meaningful than what's in front of me. And for many of us, we're waiting for something to happen. And we look out into the world and what's happening around us. And we look what's happening in other countries like Haiti, like Ukraine, and many other countries that are experiencing war or violence or unrest or instability. And sometimes we pray for God to do something. And we find ourselves thinking, how long, O Lord? And we look at Psalm 13 where David was overwhelmed by his enemies, and he was feeling so defeated within his life, and he was wondering, is God going to come through for me? And he cries out to God, and he says in Psalm 13, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? And as David cries out in this psalm, what happens is after that, he basically turns to hope and how God will show up for him. And so many times in our lives, we're waiting and waiting and waiting. Wait for that thing or that event to happen, for something to change. But what if the waiting is what God wants us to live in and to experience and to grow from? You see, if we always wait for tomorrow. If we wait for the end, we miss today, don't we? And God wants us to, yeah, think about tomorrow, but worry about today. Because today has enough problems of its own. And we can experience the grace of God. We can experience the hope of God today instead of just keep looking, oh, when this happens, when this happens, when this happens. Like, no, wait a minute. What's God doing right now, today, in my life? So focusing on today. But also to think about, I think we need to ask ourselves, where am I looking for hope? Where am I looking for hope? You see, we look everywhere, but what are we looking for? Where are we looking and what are we looking for? Are we looking for the right thing in the right place? Simeon and Anna were looking in the right place for what seemed like an eternity. And they were also looking for the right thing, which is Jesus. I have seen the salvation. The story wasn't complete yet, was it? It was just the beginning of that story. But it's like, I've seen the salvation. Yeah, this is it. I know the rest. And that's the thing. Where are we looking? What are we looking for when it comes to the hope that there is within our lives? Because you see, Advent, the coming of Jesus, brings the good news. The good news of God, the good news of Jesus into a world that needs good news. It's the conclusion of what we've all been waiting for. Hope for a struggling world. Peace in the midst of turmoil. Joy as we struggle, as we grieve. And then love given, received, and passed to others. You see, Jesus brings hope. Hope where there was none before. Where the whole world was asking, how long, O Lord? How long, O Lord, will we have to wait for anything, something to happen to save our world, to bring good news to our world? And the thing about Advent, the thing about the good news, the thing about Jesus is it's countercultural, but we never really experience it unless we slow down. We never really absorb that good news unless we slow down. I think it's important for us to think about, okay, how am I embracing the busyness of the Christmas season, or am I going to actually create margin and slow down to really absorb the hope that Christmas brings, the hope that the coming of Christ brings into my life? How does God want me to discover and rediscover and really saturate the reality of Jesus in my life, of this beautiful baby coming into the world to save us and to embrace the waiting, to embrace the process of Advent, the length of Advent, to listen. Listen to the words that are playing in the store. Unless it's like Jingle Bells, then you don't have to listen. But there are messages of Jesus in the marketplace right now. Embrace that. Listen to the words and watch. Watch for Jesus being in the world. This is a time where in Edmonton, in Canada, people talk about this baby Jesus. It's not just about Santa and tinsel and jingle bells and decorations, but it's also about Jesus. And you see Jesus in places and hear Jesus' name in places that you wouldn't normally hear Jesus' name. Watch what he's doing. Listen to the words. But all of that requires a stillness within our lives to be able to hear that message, to be able to embrace the hope that Jesus brings into a world that needs hope. Hebrews 11 says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Isn't that beautiful? That's the invitation of hope that God brings into our lives and that Jesus and Advent brings into our lives. Confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we cannot see. Romans 5 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into the grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And that's the thing, friends. A lot of times we experience suffering. We see suffering within the world, and suffering and hurt produces a longing within us. And as we persevere, that longing produces a resilience within us, that perseverance which develops character, which is a resilience that produces character within our lives. And then out of that comes a hope. And that we start with hope, we end with hope, and hope is intermixed with all of those things, the suffering, the perseverance, the character, and then there's hope. And really, in all of that, we are not ashamed. We're not ashamed of any of those things, that even though everyone else is feeling this discouragement around us, we're like, no, God's still here. Jesus is still on the throne. There's something that's going to happen, and it might not be in our lifetime, but God is still there. He has not changed, and we long for Him to intervene in all of the situations that we face and that other people throughout the world are facing. And so that life of hope is that we're focused on now. We're focused on today, but we're also focused on later, on tomorrow. And so it's this balance and this teetering between now and not yet, now and not yet. And we live in both of those worlds within the hope that we experience today and the hope that we have for tomorrow. And that as we go through suffering and as we see suffering and as we pray for suffering, that there is an optimism that wells up within us that God is still there. You see, optimism is something that we feel. That's great. And feelings come and go, but hope is actually a mindset that drives the optimism that we have. Because when it comes down to it, it's all about Jesus. That's the good news. It's all about Jesus. I know that sounds really simple, but that's pretty much what it is. We don't have to complicate it because it is about Jesus. And in that, we have this hope that wells up within us, and it's a thrilling hope that we can have, that we've been given a promise, a life of salvation, of hope in the form of a little baby born in a manger, in a stable, in a dirty barn. And yet out of that little baby, helpless but powerful, there's a confident expectation that we have within our lives that even though we have to wait, we still have hope, that we listen, that we pray relentlessly at times. We persevere in prayer even when it feels like all we want to say is, how long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? But I know you're faithful. I know you hear my prayer. And in the midst of this waiting, I still have hope. God, heal our world. Heal our nation. Heal other nations. Bring people to repentance, God, and help them to love others. God, stop the wars throughout our world so that there can be peace. God, protect the women and children and the men who are being victimized by violence or poverty. And Lord, help me to remember there is a power that when I pray to you, even though I have to wait, that there is a power in that prayer. There's a power of God within my life. And as I stop and I listen and I focus on God's work and God's plan within my life and in the lives of others and the lives of the world, there's still a hope that emerges because God is still there. He's hearing our prayers. And there's good news. There is good news. So here's some reflections for us today. First one is, where do you feel a sense of being in a space of waiting in your life? Where do you feel waiting in your life? What are you waiting for? Are you waiting for the right thing? What emotions arise as you think about that? What emotions, what do you feel as you think about the fact that you're waiting in a certain area of your life? How are you experiencing God in your time of waiting? And then how do you think God is experiencing you in your time of waiting? Sometimes we don't think about that. What do you want to be true of you as you wait? And finally, where might the Spirit inviting you into a deeper hope within your life? Will you pray with me? God, it's not easy to wait. Sometimes it's not easy to have hope. But Lord, you invite us into this mindset, this posture, this faith that because of this little baby, that even though there's so many horrible things that are happening in the world right now, there's so much chaos and division and anger. In the midst of it all, Lord, you are still there. Because none of these things are new. There's always been turmoil and wars throughout human existence. But when we focus on Jesus, all of those noises fade away. And as we imagine the excitement of those who are waiting for a Messiah and finally seeing this little baby, and the Holy Spirit says, "That's my son." It's just knowing that the promise that you made is being fulfilled. And God, you give us the opportunity for hope. You give us this gift of hope because of your son. And God, I pray that as we listen, as we observe what's happening around us and this focus on Jesus, Lord, that we would be able to just be warmed within our hearts. Not just a feeling, but just a sense of your spirit that wells up within us, that we are people of hope. And that hope goes beyond any governmental system, that hope goes beyond any control, but that hope is simply in not just this world, not just weeks and months and years, but eternity. Because Lord, in you, we have hope.